and we'll see if it's worth anything. I've got to say, I've got a strange fascination at the moment with looking at YouTube videos of people. I think they might be a touch on the spectrum, a little neurodiverse, but their passion is finding old cars that haven't been started in ages and then washing them inside and out, detailing them to within an inch of their life. Some of the stuff that happens is amazing. And they're getting like tens of millions of views. I wonder if Mark Haybittle from Supercar Secrets is similarly excited. You'll find out up next.
Breakfast is better.
We expect everyone else to meet these standards. Why shouldn't we meet them?
With Rick Goddard.
Rosemary Armitage is a member of Legislative Council for Launceston and has been pursuing this.
That was my argument. We should all be setting the example by having our working with vulnerable people card, because we do go into too many different areas and we can be vulnerable at any time, and I think we should be looking after people.
Rick Goddard. On air and on the ABC Listen app. Monday to Thursday from 5:30 a.m. on ABC Radio Hobart.
I'm with you this morning. All the while that we're talking and have been since 7:30, Lou Calvert's been outside my window doing burpees, getting ready to break her own world record. This is the training phase. She's doing 1,200 burpees this morning. She's going to do 6,000 in a few weeks' time. If you want to help out, if you've got a little bit of money spare, you go to her Instagram page at Lou Calvert, and right up the top, you'll find a link to donate to help out. It's pretty simple to do. That's if you've got Instagram. Otherwise, you might need to wait for one of the youngsters to come over to your house and do it through them. But yeah, Lou's trying to raise money for a really good cause, helping Ryan Wiggins get into some new therapy equipment, this electric bicycle that helps stimulate different muscles. That's the bee's knees. But there's maybe one, if any, in Tasmania, and he's going to need to save up. Could cost $40,000+. Lou's hoping to raise 10 of that. If you can help out, it'd be great if you could get involved. Mornings around Tasmania, Mark Haybittle is with Supercar Secrets. Last time we had him on, this segment went off, so we thought, I love talking about this. Hope you like listening to it. Let's get him back. Mark, good morning to you.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, Mark. How are you this morning?
Oh, absolutely fantastic. I'm just sitting on a hill looking overlooking Balmoral Beach in Sydney. So it's just lovely.
Well, that
absolutely
is
gorgeous.
Do you know, I was in I've just been caravanning around Australia, Mark. And
right.
When I was a pup in Sydney, everyone was worried about getting eaten by sharks in Sydney Harbour. And now at Balmoral and Fairlight and all these places, people are just swimming around in the bay. Oh, let's go for a 2 kilometre swim. We'll swim from here to here. And I'm thinking, well, didn't we used to say we had to be behind nets and worry? And no, nowadays, everybody's just out and in the water.
Well, that's it. They are. I have to say, I'm not one of them. I do a lot of swimming, but it's in a blue thing that's got an end to it and it's 50 metres in length.
And heavily chlorinated.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I've always been aware of the fact that if there's a shark out there, it'll probably get me. It's just the way it is. And as you clearly said, you know, there's been sharks in Sydney Harbour on numerous occasions, actually. So, yeah.
Oh, well, everyone seems quite relaxed about it. Hey,
they do.
I have a strange fascination with looking at YouTube videos of people finding, barn finds or, shed finds, and then people washing them for the first time in 30 years and bringing them back to life. Mark, do you similarly sit up at night and watch this stuff?
Well, I don't sit up and watch it. I do it. amongst the collectors that we deal with extensively through the country, a lot of them have these cars out the back that have not been, some of the ones that have been outside have not been washed in 30 years. So we have to go and drag those cars back to Sydney, and sometimes they might be coming from Queensland or Northern Territories. We drag them back and we do exactly what you're watching on the YouTube videos and recreate something from nothing, basically.
Amazing. Hey, we've already got people who've dropped us a note and want to have a chat with you. Mark Haybittle's our guest this morning from Supercar Secrets. Mark, what's your area of specialty? Again, you've got a particular age range that gets you super excited. What is it?
Yeah, look, the really exciting stuff for us is anything from about mid-1970s up to 2000, or just a tad past, maybe 2002. Because that's really where cars were at their best. After 2006, I think everyone's realised everything's made of plastic and falls apart in 5 seconds. So the real cars were in that era, in that time frame.
I think Dan's on the line. He's going to want to talk to you about rotary-powered things in just a moment, but hold on for that.
Oh, they're awesome. Anything rotary-powered is fun, exciting, and generally worth an awful lot of money these
you're
days.
You're only encouraging Dan. Just hang on a tick, please, Mark. Damien's in Oatlands. Good morning, Damien.
G'day, mate. How are you?
I'm great, Damien. What have you got?
It's 1976 Volkswagen Transporter.
Mm-hmm.
It was converted into a camper, reasonably done inside. It hasn't had the roof cut off. It's had the 2 litre taken out of it, and it's got an 1800, which is blown a rod. The body's pretty straight. Unfortunately, I have to part with it, and I'm just wondering what sort of asking price is on something like that.
Rust, how much of it?
Very minimal. In fact, bugger all. It's been well looked after. It's got a couple little dings, but minimal rust.
Have you still got the original engine laying around somewhere?
It's actually in another combi.
A donation. let's see what we can find out from Mark Haybeardle, because we know combis are going for ridiculous money. 1976 Volkswagen Transporter. It's been converted over. It hasn't had the roof cut. Reasonable condition, Mark. What do you think?
Right, so essentially it's a Volkswagen van, right? Is that right?
Well, hang on, let's go back to Damien. Is it a Volkswagen van, effectively, Damien?
It was, yeah, technically it was a Volkswagen van Transporter. It actually belonged to Inland Fisheries, and the gentleman who worked at Inland Fisheries purchased it off Inland Fisheries, and then he converted it inside, put a rock and roller bed and a couple of cupboards.
Interesting. Righto, Mark, what do you think?
Right. Well, look, if it was a genuine combi, as in, you know, a genuine camper van, the values of those things, particularly for the 1800s and the 2 litres, which are the bigger engines, you know, they're sitting on 60 to 70k. But this is a converted van, and it doesn't run, and it hasn't got the original engine in it, so it's going to be way down. I mean, it's probably sitting at around about somewhere in the region of 15 to 18 grand at the moment, as it stands, not running.
15 to 18 grand, still better than a smack in the eye. Damien, how do you feel about that?
That was far better than what I expected, so thank you.
Okay, good on you, mate. Nice to talk to you this morning. Mark Haybeardle from Supercar Secrets is our guest this morning. Mark, thank you for that. Mark, we're going to catch up now. I'm just doing some adjustment on the phone,
sure.
On the phone, so we're just going to do a little bit of that. What about we turn that line, Kylie? Oh, hello. We're pressing buttons willy-nilly now. We're getting things very exciting here, so we can bring up two lines at once. The Grumpy Sailor wants to know, I have a Series 3 Mazda RX-7. All original, has some rust, but the body's straight. Planning to fix her up, and I love her, says Grumpy Sailor this morning.
Look, anything RX-7, early series, and by that I mean Series 1, 2 and 3, they're all just absolutely going through the roof. The Series 1... literally in the last 3 years has gone from about a $5,000 or $8,000 car to a $60,000 car. The Series 3, not quite so much. I mean, so in the pecking order, the Series 1 is the one to have. That's the most valuable. Then comes the Series 2. That's less valuable. They're sort of in the 25 to 30s. The Series 3, probably 20 to 25 for a Series 3, although they are a stunning, gorgeous car. And they will be worth more. They'll continue rising now because they've only really just started. They've just started their trend, whereas the RX-7 Series 1, you know, they've been going for a couple of years now. So they're well on their way, and they've kind of almost reached their peak. But Series 3, yeah, 20 to 25 at the moment, but rising. So tell the gentleman just to hang on to it.
Right, just hang on to it. Nice advice. Mornings around Tasmania. Mark Haybeardle's our guest this morning. Let's say good morning and see if I can pull this off to Joy in the Fraser-Nay Peninsula. Joy, good morning.
Good morning, Leon, and good morning, Mark.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. I have a 1972 Clubman GT. We were driving it up until the late 80s, but it has been sheddered for, like, since then till now. When I've actually got the first schedule thing here still from back in 1972 when I bought it, and it had done 35,000 miles, I assume that was at that stage. I can't tell you how many miles we have on it now because it's home on the farm in the shed, waiting to have something done with it or whatever. And I'm just wondering, is it worth doing it up or not?
No, it's definitely worth doing it up, 100%. 100%. Oh. Anything Mini, I mean, the way Minis work is that the very, very early ones, the 1960s, what we call the Mark 1, you know, they're the most valuable, and then they sort of decrease gradually when you get to the Mark 2, and then when you get to the 1970s and you get the Clubman, they're worth less again. But In saying that, an early Mark 1's worth, you know, 50 to 60K. So that leaves your car sitting at probably somewhere around about 18 to 20,000 right now, as it is. Oh. Assuming that the mileage on it probably has only got, I'm just guessing here, I'm just guessing that really if it's been sitting around, it's probably got up to about 50 now or maybe 60, you know.
Yeah, we used to use it, like we used to go to over to Bathurst car races with it. We went once and that sort of thing, a couple of long trips like that, because my husband's best mate had three Cooper S's. And, yeah, he did.
Wow. Well, that sounds like a great story, and it sounds like it'd be worth restoring. Nice work, Joy. Lovely to talk to you. Let's go to Dan, who loves rotary engines, amongst other things, but has a question for you. Dan, what's your question for Mark Haybill? And good morning, Dan.
Good morning, mate. I think we should definitely have more rotary talk back on this station. I think that's a niche market that we can really tap into here.
Absolutely. I completely agree. One of my earliest rally cars was an RX2 with a peripheral port in it, and then that was closely followed by.
Oh my God! Come on, boys, settle down.
You're getting me excited. Yeah, you're right. Then after that, mate.
Look, settle down, Dan. What's your question, please? No rotary talk back from Deloraine.
That's disappointing. The craze of patina paint and finding cars in their original patina condition. Is that going to stay a thing, you reckon, for a while, or is it going to around? Yeah.
Cool. I mean, the patina thing, it sort of extends. It depends on which vehicle it's on. Like, if you take something like a Ferrari, for example, really the thing's got to be concourse condition or just below, but an original paintwork car that's never been touched will always, always, always be worth miles more than one that's been repainted. So, that's true for those cars. But then when you get to something like a VW Combi Ute or a Land Rover, sometimes when they're in really rough-looking order, that's where the value is if it's the original paint and it hasn't been repainted. And what I mean by that is if it's all faded away and, you know, and the colour's sort of disappeared and it's patchy, that's actually a good thing on a VW Ute or a Land Rover, you know?
Mm.
Yeah. I like it. I reckon it's a good look. I've got a 1960 Dodge truck that's all patina, but Transport want me to paint it if I want a registered SI, so I think I'll just keep paying for a rego and keep the patina paint on it, I reckon.
Well, that's interesting, Dan. They've told you if you wanted to have it as a special interest vehicle, you need to get it repainted in Tasmania.
Yeah, sometimes that can be the rules in certain places. I mean, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't apply all over the country, but it might apply there. I'm not entirely sure. But, yeah, it could well be the case.
I find it really interesting. And thank you, Dan, for your call this morning, 0438 922 936. You can text or you can call 1300 222 936. We're talking classic cars with Mark Haybittle. Mark, I don't know how excited you get about French cars, but the reason I caught the ferry over was because I was Mum's old car was going into new hands. I have just inherited a 2000 model. One lady owner, only really driven to church, garaged all the time, 2000 model Citroen Zara with 80,000 Ks on it. Unfortunately, I can't imagine that there's a big collector's market for this, but it was much loved. Does anyone get excited about 2000 model Citroen Zaras?
Only people that love Citroen Zaras, and there's not too many of those. They're actually a great car. They really are. Is it the 2000? That's a changeover year. Has it got the sort of the what I would call the sexy looking tail, where the windows turn up at the ends at the back?
I haven't even thought about that. Look, I think it's attractive in its way. It's got the 2-liter 16 valve engine.
Yeah,
but I don't know about the tail treatment on it, Mark. I mean, it just looks, you know, it is what it is. I can't compare it to any other Citroen Zaras because you had to be a very unique mum to buy them. So I don't know.
They were a bit of an acquired taste. I mean, French cars, you know, are literally loved by a certain part of the whole collector community, and they'll only drive French cars. I mean, things like, you might recall the earlier Citroen DS Palace, that's the real sleek-looking one that generally sits really low on the ground with the hodge elastic suspension. I mean, there's a massive following for those.
I tell you what, if I could put you in front of a Peugeot 205 GTI from back in the day, you'd probably get excited about that, I reckon.
I'd get very excited about that, given that right now I'm sitting in a 206 GTI 180, which is the special version, of which only 184 were brought into this country, which is 180 brake horsepower GTI 180 that very few people know about, and they're a rocket ship. But the 205 GTI, the original 205 GTI Mark 1 was a rocket ship as well. They're great little cars, awesome cars.
We'd better get to some more of our calls because there's lots of them. Mark Haybittle's our guest this morning, and Will is in Kingston Beach. Good morning, Will.
Good morning, Leon and Mark.
Will, you got a little Corolla.
Yeah, I've got a fair few of them. I think I've got 10 in my possession and another 3 or 4 around the state that I've got to go collect.
Crikey, Will, that's a lot of Corollas. What, are you in Mark's sort of wheelhouse with age? How old are these Corollas?
These Corollas sort of range between 1988 and 1994, and they're all the four-wheel drive wagons.
Oh, the Tercels?
Not Tercels. So Tercels sort of with a predecessor to the four-wheel drive Corolla, but Toyota got rid of the Tercels because they were a bit slow and not very good.
Well, hang on, can you just talk right into your phone, please, Will? I need you to get you nice and loud, please, mate. I've got you up at maximum and I don't want to blow anyone's head off.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better. So four-wheel drive Corollas, but that weren't Tercels.
Yeah, so Tercels are sort of, they're a four-wheel drive wagon as well. They've got a north-south engine, and they're carbureted and they're quite slow and
they're not very good.
Yeah. So Toyota got rid of those and brought out a four-wheel drive Corolla with a 1.6-litre dual overhead camshaft, fuel-injected Corolla, and they're awesome and super reliable.
Yeah, most of these must be imports then, Dan, yeah?
Will, are they imports?
No, I think they were all sold in Australia. Some people did import them from Japan, but there was an Australian market for them, and there were Australian spec Corollas built. They're sort of rare, but not so much in Tasmania, but on the mainland they're very rare.
Righto. What do you think, Mark?
They're definitely rare over here, Will. Very rare. I've seen a couple of them, and then I've also imported a couple as well when we used to bring cars in from Japan. They're a nice little thing because they go quite well and four-wheel drive, and they're a wagon. I mean, they're a good combination. And like you said, they're sort of the up-spec version of what the Tercel was. Tercel was where they started, and then they got it right with this one, didn't they?
Well, there you go. Good on you, Will. Lovely to chat this morning. Let's go to Pete the plumber. Pete, good morning to you.
Hello, Leon.
What do you got, Pete?
We've got a 2008 TRD Hilux 4000 SL. Supercharged.
A supercharged?
Right, okay. Yeah, that's a bit outside my age range, actually, because we sort of really only know up to 2002. I know that those TRD Hilux utes are attracting a lot of attention, but what it's actually worth, I can't tell you because it's not really under my wing, you know?
Yep.
I'm sorry, do you love it, Pete?
It's a fun thing to drive. Okay. 225 kilowatts.
Crikey. Yeah, they go hard, those things.
400 odd newtons. Yeah.
You get to the job on time. Nice work, Pete. That's Pete the plumber on Mornings Around Tasmania. Lee's in Hobart. Good morning, Lee.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Lee, what do you got?
1976 1.8-litre VW Combi dual cab ute.
Oh, they're a bit of a thing.
Yeah, a bit of fun.
Yeah, they're super rare. They are. Did you say 76?
76.
Yeah. Oh, look, they're a bit hard to value because they're definitely worth quite a lot of money. It depends on what sort of kilometres on it?
80,000.
Is that all? Wow.
Could have
clicked. And it's a dual cab ute.
Dual cab ute, new interior, good roof, good paint.
What
color? 7 or 8. Blue, light blue.
Oh, right, okay. See, our collectors would get very excited about that. Well, it's always hard to value them because something like that is a super rare vehicle and doesn't come up very often at all. Was it 1800 or 2 litre?
1800.
Look, something like that, easily worth 55.
Right, fantastic. Yeah,
easily worth 55. But that's conservative because we did find one for a collector about 12 months ago, but admittedly it was mint. It had had a lot of work done on it, and he paid 68 for that.
Wow. Well, look, you two maybe need to talk offline and see if you can do a deal. Lee, lovely to talk to you this morning. Mark, lovely to talk to you as well. Thank you so much. We've got 1,000 calls sitting on hold. I'm sorry to everybody that we won't be able to get to this morning. Oh, look at all these great questions. We're going to save your text and come back to you next time around. Our Fiat 128SL coupes, rare and keepers, if they're restored, ask Rob this morning. These are the sorts of questions
need answered. And we've got a couple of those 128 coupes. They're great, particularly the 3P. They're great and they're worth keeping. Hang on to it.
Mark, lovely to chat. We'll catch up with you in a few weeks' time.
Fantastic. Look forward to it, Leon. Have a great couple of weeks.